Anderson heaving one down the sideline, and he's got Cass Allen.
Listening to the Bruin Bible. This is your host, Will Decker, bringing you UCLA football content all throughout the year for LA Football Network.
What is up, Bruin Bible listeners? This is your host, Will Decker. We've got a very special sponsor to lead us off. We got Bet Online. Bet Online remains your number one source for all your baseball betting needs this season as it is officially opening day. Get analysis of every play, prop, and point at Bet Online. You'll find the latest odds, bracket contests, team matchups, and game trends at BetOnline as a whole. BetOnline is your baseball, basketball, football headquarters this season. Head to our website today and use our mobile device to sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Be sure to use your promo code BELIEVE to receive your bonus pay. BetOnline, where the game starts. Now to the Bruin Bible. What is up, Bruin Bible listeners? This is your host, Will Decker. We got my main man, a big-time Bruin fan, one of the bigger fans on Twitter that I've interacted with, the guy, Mr. Jack Fernan, in the house. Jack, one of the bigger UCLA fans. How are we feeling today, man, knowing that spring ball is right around the corner?
Pumped to be on, Will. Pumped to discuss ball with you. And pumped to see our Bruins on the field.
Dude, pumped is an understatement, dude. It's a long time coming trying to get you on this podcast. So we got some big topics to kind of go on. I want to hear about Chip Kelly and your thoughts on that. It's a hot topic among the fan base. Position battles, transfer portal, players to look out for this year. But first, I got to start with a personal question for you. You are a huge UCLA fan. How did you become one of the Bruin fans that, you know, stand out on the Twitter space?
You know, funny you should ask that, Will. I grew up a band geek. I grew up a nerd. So sports was not in my thing at all. The closest thing I did to sports was I did 2 years of baseball as a kid. I was bored of it and decided to quit. So sports was not a thing for me. The thing that changed for me, though, is once I got into UCLA, I joined the marching band there. And we went to all the events. And that got me hooked immediately, supporting my team and support something that felt close to home for me.
No, wait. What instrument did you play? I never knew you were in the marching band. That's awesome.
Yeah. I play saxophone.
Oh, great choice, man. That's what I played in like fourth and fifth grade when we had to choose an instrument. I wish I kept with it, but I mean, man, you're probably playing some like jazz, like Miles Davis out there with the sax, dude. So I got to hear some sax from our guy, Jack. So you became a Bruin fan. You jumped in with the band. Were you at every single football and basketball game? Was it just kind of like you could pick and choose with the band? I'm interested to see how that goes because my grandpa, he was a trumpet player for the University of Michigan back in the day, and it was something he loved to do and he raved about for his entire life.
Yeah, most schools do, they have a separate marching band and then varsity band for like basketball games and stuff. For us, it was under one umbrella. What was required was every single UCLA home game for football. And for basketball, you could pick and choose whichever one you wanted to go to. So we would go to one away game a year for the full band, whether we play at Stanford or at Cal, whichever year it was. And yeah, so I basically attended all that I can. And I attended most of the basketball games that I could. I attended most of the football games. And yeah.
That's awesome, man. Is there a favorite song outside of the fight song for UCLA to play with the band to get the crowd fired up, get the student section going nuts?
Yeah, crowd favorite is usually California Love.
That
never goes wrong. One of the unofficial fight song that we dubbed it in the band is Our Word Up. So those are a few favorites. And there's new ones popping off now. Like Mo Bamba
was recently
added.
That's dope.
So there's a few crowd favorites in there.
That's what's up, dude. Yeah. Like California Love, like the most vivid memory I have of that. So we're beating LSU and California Love just start playing in the stadium, man. Whole stadium's rocking at this point. Probably the highlight of my tenure covering the Bruins thus far. So we got a lot of great more memories coming. I want to start off with Chip Kelly because, like, let's be honest, this guy is either loved or hated. There's no in between when it comes to the Bruins fan base. And for the haters, I understand. Like, 10-21 his first 3 years at the helm, that's something that's just not – you can't make that happen. There's no right or wrong there. It's just flat wrong, you know, when it comes to that. But the last 2 years, he's kind of rebounded 17-8. Should have won the bowl game this year. Could have played in the bowl game last year. It got canceled. But you see what he's starting to do in the transfer portal, what he's done for his last 3 years through that. You see what he's doing on the recruiting end, getting a guy like Dante Moore in there, bringing in more, you know, stronger talent. Where do you, one of the fans of UCLA, stand on the Chip Kelly argument?
Oh, I'm a Chip Kelly believer. For a while, it was kind of dwindling. I understand, like, the frustration. And I understand he's not producing on the field. It's been 5 years. I understand all of that. But things are changing. If you can see on the recruiting trail, he's visiting more. He's actually recruiting a lot more, visiting a lot more high schools. The staff hires are young and upcoming. They feel like more like home run hires and risk hires, yeah, which will benefit us more than kind of is friends that maybe washed out a few years ago. And so I'm kind of on that end. And man, that record at Oregon is no fluke. After Oregon, yeah, he failed in the NFL, but the first 2 years at Philadelphia, he won the division like 10-6 with like scrubs at quarterback.
Yeah.
He was scrubs at, and so he had no Tom Brady, no Patrick Mahomes. So his record definitely speaks for itself, and he's definitely an offensive genius. And even at our lowest point in the 3-9 year, 4-8 year, we were still putting up a lot of points. And so I'm definitely a believer. I think just the situation at UCLA is so unique because it isn't like any other school where you could just immediately get in all of these 5 stars no matter what. He wanted to build a Stanford-esque program where a culture of dignity and pride and no shady business, no controversial character issues. One team united, and that definitely takes time to build.
Oh, it definitely does. And, you know, just I am such a believer as well. It took its course. You know, it's taken time to get here. But just seeing what he's been able to build, you know, getting a guy like Charbonnet, who was, you know, for my money, the best running back in all of college football last year. That includes the guy over at Texas and Bijan Robinson. You know, Charbonnet missed a couple games too. Getting Latu from the transfer portal. Getting Jalen Davies, who I think is going to be the most slept on defensive back coming to the Pac-12 this year. So you just keep building that, and you build upon that with a Carson Steele, a Sturdivant, you know, Oladejo in the linebacking room, and just a lot of different guys coming in, and you pair that with the highest quarterback recruit UCLA has ever been able to get. You know, when you get a big quarterback, recruits start to take notice, you know, because that is the centerpiece of a team. Ask any wide receiver who they want to play with. Do you want to play with the fringe 3-star guy, or do you want to play with the 5-star guy that's going to be coming into his own for the next 2 years? Like that is who the receivers want to play with moving forward. Even offensive linemen, they want to block for that type of guy. So it's a really huge move. And I think it's going to be the move that, you know, the Bible has before Christ and after Christ. It's going to be before Dante and after Dante. You know what I mean? I think that's going to be kind of what we look at as UCLA fans moving forward. So I'm glad you're on the same boat as I am with Chip. Chip is a guy that I'm really, really excited for. A lot of position battles coming into camp this year, Jack. Quarterback, I know Dante, everyone thinks he should be the guy, and, you know, I'm there as well, but he's going to have to earn it. Like, it's not going to be handed to him. Colin Schley, this guy has multiple, you know, double-digit starts to his name. Garbers has been waiting in the wings, has known this offense for 3 years. Every time he's come in the game, he's been pretty solid as a guy that can play. And then who is the guy we were excited about before? Justin Martin. This guy was going to be the savior before Dante Moore, who's back, and he's got another year under his belt, you know, when it comes to that. Talk to me about the quarterback position battle, and do you think Dante Moore is going to take it?
Well, this is definitely an interesting battle, to say the least. I know for a fact, based on the way Chip Kelly, based off these last few years, is not going to be handed to Dante. Everyone thinking that Dante's going to start from day one. If he starts, it's because he earned that battle. So I think I am personally rooting for Dante because that would be best case scenario because yeah. Ethan Garbers is such a baller. He knows the system in and out. Colin Schley has all this talent and he's a veteran. So if Dante's able to beat them out, that shows his ability. So that's like probably the best case scenario. But either way, we'll be set. We'll be solid. Ethan Garbers knows the system in and out. He knows all the little things that the system requires to succeed fully. And Ethan Garbers at times, I saw him almost as equal as DTR
Yeah.
From what he didn't have in his legs, he made up in his arm. He threw to the outside more. DTR kind of really didn't do that. So for a while, I was kind of leaning on putting Ethan Garbers when DTR was in those little slumps. And Colin Schley, they brought him in for a reason. When he announced his commitment, that was a few days before Dante Moore. That all gave us a little scare, but we know this for a reason. So either way, we should be solid at quarterback, especially considering Chip Kelly's offense with improved wide receivers, just as good running back room. So just as good online. So we should be set.
I love it, man. And just to get a 0 to 100%, where you lie on where the quarterback battle goes, where from 0 to 100, where do you put Dante Moore in terms of winning the job outright in camp?
I put it at 60%.
That's exactly what I did, man. Love it. Great minds think alike, Jack. I think if he is the chosen one, like we've all predicted him to be, you know, we had chosen Rosen back in the day with Josh. Didn't pan out as great. I mean, there were some great moments there, obviously. But the thing I love about Dante Moore is you could tell, I think Chip probably pitched him like, hey, man, you're probably getting your ass kissed everywhere you go. I'm telling you, you're going to have to win this job. You know, you can learn from me. I've put players in the NFL. I'm one of the best offensive coaches in college football. You do the little things here right, you're going to go to the NFL. And I think a guy like Dante Moore respected that just to get some honesty out of the recruiting process. Because you look at that, and you look at the fact when they asked him, you know, NIL money, it's a big deal in LA. He's like, I don't even care about NIL money. That showed me he's a different type of athlete in today's current range. So we're rooting for all the quarterbacks. I think whoever starts, you know, come that opening day against the Coastal Carolina, it's going to be the best guy that's trotting out there. So I'm really excited about that. Let's go to the running back room, man. You got the deepest running back room I think UCLA has had under Chip Kelly. Just a lot of ballers in that room. Carson Steele was the number one running back, you know, in the transfer portal. He decided to come to UCLA. TJ Harden, man, I'm telling you, this is the next guy, in my opinion, just from what I saw last year, is going to go and make an impact. You know, I think he's going to be the next NFL running back coming from this, you know, Deshaun Foster group where he's produced some of these Demetri Feltons, these Joshua Kellys, Charbonnets, Britton Browns, you name it, right? So you got those two guys. Keegan Jones, a veteran of the system, man. He's one of the best pure pass catchers I've seen from running backs. You know, every time we swung it out to him, it was a big play. Adkins is kind of my sleeper. Can't sleep on Twitter favorite Colson Yankoff, too. Just he's a fun guy. Tell me how you're approaching the running back room battles, because, like, as a fan, I'm looking back going, damn, like, we are stacked. Like, I don't even know who's going to be, like, the number two running back, number three running back in this group.
Yeah. What I'm kind of hoping for is Carson Steele as a number one and TJ Harden as a number two. That way TJ can kind of see how a veteran does it. Carson Steele was at Ball State. He put up insane numbers there.
He did.
And coming here, and so – I actually have to disagree with you with being T.J. Harden being the next running back. I think it's going to be Carson Steele, then T.J. Harden.
Okay.
I think Carson Steele has that impact ability. And with those stats, the stats don't lie. Those numbers don't lie. And I think he'll be able to pull up similar numbers in a two-back system. Maybe not those record-breaking numbers, insane numbers, but put up crazy numbers in a two-back system, kind of like Charbonnet did last year with him and Britton Brown. So I kind of see it that way. But either way, we're set. The one position, even at the beginning, the 3-9 era, the one thing position I was never worried about was running back. Because of my main man, Deshaun Foster. He's really a hell of a coach.
Best position coach in the country when it comes to the running back position, in my opinion. I see it with Carson Steele. You know, I think he's great. I think where I kind of, you know, pivot to is like I just want to see him Pac-12 play. You know, just add it in a bigger environment. If he's still putting up, you know, 1,100, 1,200 yards and he's doing it at a great yards per clip, you're right. He probably is the next guy. I just feel so confident about Harden. And it's exciting because Steele brings this level of talent. He's only going to get better theoretically when you put him in with a guy like Deshaun Foster, who's been able to enhance just about every running back's career that he's gotten his hands on at UCLA. So I like the pick, man. I'm hoping Carson Steele is our next guy. You know, I'd love to hear that. What is up, Bruin Bible listeners? We have another advertisement for you. We are so lucky to be sponsored by the great people at Athletic Greens. I started taking Athletic Greens specifically because I was lacking energy, lacking focus throughout the day, and needed some special pick-me-up ingredients to make things happen in my life. Athletic Greens has done just that. I've become absolutely addicted to the process. It has over 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source ingredients, probiotics, adaptogens to make your life easier by doing this during the day. I like to take it to start my mornings off. I like to do it before a workout. Makes you feel energized, focused, and just have a lot more energy throughout the day than I typically expected. Right now is it's the time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every single day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/LAFB. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/LAFB to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Athletic Greens, a game changer when it comes to your health and your focus and your mindset. Now to the Bruin Bible. Hot topic, defense. The defense has been bad for a very long time. You know this. I know this. It is kind of the thing that we just sigh about and sulk about as UCLA fans, how bad our defense has been. However, I think this is, you know, with the new hires that are made, and it's going to maybe take some time for them to figure that out because D'Anton Lynn is in a role that, you know, he's never been on. He is the signal caller for the defense. I welcome the move. I'm excited about the move. It may take like four or five games for him to kind of catch up to speed with him being the first time calling all of the plays. So I'm excited to see that. You know, Cody Whitfield, you know, coming out in the safety room. That's another guy that we're excited about. So, man, you look at the defensive line. I think this is the deepest defensive line UCLA has had under the Chip Kelly era. The linebacking room, man, I completely forgot that Kane Medrano and Carl Jones are coming back, as well as Ali K. The guy you referenced in, you know, the Twitter post that I have is the guy you're most excited about. You couple that with Muasau, John Vons, who might be a better baseball player than football player, and then Oladejo, who I, you know, 18 tackles against UCLA. This guy's a baller, man, so we were really excited to get him. And then, you know, the one thing that I always get is I'm an optimist when it comes to the secondary. We've got too much talent to be bad. I think we're going to be good in that area too. Do you think this is a top 50 defense? Because I think once you get in that top 50 range, something we haven't really been able to sniff with Chip Kelly, the offense is too good just to, like, balance that out. So it's going to be a dominant team if you got a top 50 defense. I believe we can get there. Do you believe we can do that?
I do. The big reason why I believe that is because of the defensive coordinator. Yeah, he's not this flashy hire like Jimmy Lake or something like that. But from those in the NFL circles, one of the consistent defensive organizations is the Ravens. Yeah, no matter what quarterback, no matter what era, they always have a great defense. This past year, he really was a huge role in developing Kyle Hamilton, who started off as kind of like, hey, is he a bust? He's a stud. So that's one of the big things that gives me the most confidence. He's young. He has all these stops. His father is Anthony Lynn, former Chargers head coach.
Yeah.
So that's one of the big reasons why I think we are going to get a top 50 defense. But we have a bunch of ballers. Like you said, deep. I agree with you. Probably the deepest defensive line room UCLA has in a long time.
Yeah.
We have a bunch of talent in the backfield. Not the backfield, in the secondary.
A lot of talent, though.
A lot of recruits a lot of four-star recruits who kind of sat last year, kind of developing, who they'll be able to get their chance to play. A lot of incoming transfers who were really ballers. And yeah, I completely agree with you. And especially with Ken Norton Jr. as a linebackers coach, you immediately saw how impactful our linebackers got. So yeah, I agree with you. I could see UCLA easily having a top 50 defense.
Awesome,
especially with in the Pac-12, this kind of on defensive side and among other programs, there's kind of inconsistencies there. There's no Georgia in terms of defense in the Pac-12. So I could easily see us being one of the top defenses.
I totally agree, man. I'm excited. You know, I think there's a lot of room to be excited about as a Bruins fan. You want to talk about inconsistent defenses. Talk about the team across town when Tulane shredded them in the freaking Cotton Bowl, man. So, like, that's the kind of defense they're playing against when it comes to the Pac-12. You know, I think Utah had a pretty solid defense, I think, with all measures accounted for. Oregon is probably going to take another year to get there with Dan Lanning. You know, Oregon State was solid, but not like that flashy defense. So I'm really pumped that maybe UCLA can be the team to get there. And the guys that strike me on the defensive line, yeah, we know Latu, the Murphy twins, but the Jay Toya, I think he's going to come into his own this year, like on the defensive tackle spot. Like that is might be my breakout player for the Bruins across the board. So talented. We saw it flash in the Sun Bowl. I love what he brings to the table. And then you add Keanu Williams, who is a four-star recruit. Didn't really work out at Oregon, so he came back down. Man, I mean, it seemed like Chip addressed every hole that this team had. And the way I like to talk about it is like he comes to the offseason with a grocery list and he gets all the guys he's looking for, at least to plug and play the areas of concern. You know, we're losing a Raekwon O'Neal. Let's go get a Kadir Kauna. Let's go get Maliki Matavo, the tight end, you know, from Oregon. Oh, we don't have any outside receivers. Let's get Sturdivant. Let's get Kyle Ford. So who are some of the guys that you're pumped about come springtime? And it could be just first-year recruits. I mean, it could be transfers. I mean, we all know about Dante, but who are some of the guys that you're stoked about when it comes to watching spring ball? And you better be going out there, man. It's open to everybody.
Yeah, so Dante is cheating, so that's kind of not – that doesn't count. But for me, probably would probably be between Sturdivant and – between Sturdivant and probably Ali Kaho. I thought Ali Kaho had the potential to be kind of like another Latu.
Yeah.
And I think he can this year. Just unfortunately, he was injured last year. The year before, he's kind of getting into the system. So I kind of those two, because we haven't had a true outside threat receiver in a very long time. And Sturdivant had these numbers at Cal, who had probably one of the worst offenses in the country, which is saying something. Like, not to disrespect Cal, but they weren't too hot last year. Yeah. And so, yeah, I'm excited for those two.
We can definitely disrespect Cal after they pulled that crap with UCLA. So, all disrespect towards Cal. I mean, keep sending us good players, but, man, that stuff you pulled with the UC Regents, we did not forget. We'll put that lightly. Yeah, man, I'm very similar. I think Sturdivant, you know, just the raw numbers he put up as a redshirt freshman, I mean, that was really his first time on the field. And to do it in that type of offense – you add him to an offensive genius, in my opinion, Chip Kelly. I mean, the sky is the limit. You know, our receiving room, I think Sturdivant can potentially, like his ceiling, I think for me, is second team, you know, all Pac-12 this year, which is not a knock because there's a lot of really good receivers coming back in the Pac-12. But man, like just having that guy, that big play threat, and you add a Kyle Ford to the other side of that, a USC guy that killed us last year in the UCLA-USC game. There's just, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the most excitement I've had for a UCLA team probably since the Brett Hundley days. Like, I'm really, really excited about what they're trotting on the field. It's just a deep roster. I'm a little worried about the offensive line. Is there any other areas of concern you have when it comes to the football team? And is this, you know, the deepest UCLA team you've seen in a long time?
Yeah, the secondary and the defense will always be a concern. That's kind of like in all of our eyes. We'll see it. We'll believe it when we see it. I do have hope, but it's still kind of a bit of a concern. But for me, I have to agree, the offensive line. And to me, that's not even that big of a concern because we had a huge concern last year. We were all worried, oh, no, we're going to get torched. We're going to get shredded. And it turned out great. So I think that shows up how great of a coach Clancy Prendergast and Chip Kelly are at developing offensive linemen. So if that's our biggest worry, then I think we should be a solid team.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, man. Do you have a wins prediction for me? You know, we got, I think, a 12-game slate. We don't have Washington. We don't have Oregon, who are going to be, in my opinion, two of the top three teams coming into next year. Where do you sit? Because I think this is the year where we get past 10 wins, whether that's the regular season or with the bowl game. I think this is a lot of optimism, you know, coming for the UCLA fan base.
I agree, and I think our schedule plays out in a way where it's very favorable to us. Because we're playing at Utah, which is never great. But when you want to play Utah is early in the season, because that's usually when they stumble. And then towards the end of the season, that's when you do not want to face them. So we got that. We got lucky with that. USC is one of the last games, as usual. We don't have any Oregon nor Washington. So I could see us. It's going to be a hot take. I could see us going to winning 11 games. 10,
I
11
love it.
Games.
I'm in the same boat, man. I think this is the time. I think this is the year that Chip Kelly officially switches the flip, where we become a power, you know, whether that's in the Pac-12 this year, the Big Ten. I'll leave it with the Big Ten, man. This is something that you wanted to talk about. Big Ten move. If you were with the band, you'd be traveling to, you know, Maryland or, you know, Wisconsin, as opposed to, you know, playing up in Cal or Stanford. Give me your take on the move to the Big Ten, because I think it's kind of tragic, and I think it's the right move at the same time, because I think Big Ten, just from a fan base perspective, it's a bigger conference than that of the Pac-12. But finally, the Pac-12 is just getting good. It's kind of heartbreaking in that regard, too. So where do you stand on the Big Ten move? Because I know that's a controversial stance for UCLA fans as well.
I think it's a move that needed to be made. And the death of the Pac-12 isn't USC and UCLA leaving. It's Larry Scott signing the Pac-12 media deal like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the way it is, no matter how good we are, we weren't getting any eyeballs. It's a move that needed to be made. I'm with you. I believe Zach Charbonnet is better than Bijan Robinson, a lot better. I remember seeing this one game. I don't know if it was this year or last year. He was literally dragging like four guys, and then he got tackled.
Strongest running back I've ever seen, dude. It's unreal. Yeah. I love that guy so much.
Yeah, it's insane. And he was not even in the Heisman watch. I understand him not winning the Heisman trophy because of the two-back system. He's not getting those numbers. But he wasn't even a Heisman watch. We only had one primetime game this past year. We were not getting any eyeballs. We were either at 10 a.m. on the Pac-12 Network or 8 at night.
Yeah.
So this is a move that needed to be made. And also, this will definitely help us grow a lot, because off the Pac-12 media deal alone, we were making about $20 million a year. Now, in the Big Ten, it's reported that we're going to make around $70 to $100 million a year.
I know.
That's huge. And that's huge. That's a lot of money that we could use, not only in like kind of day-to-day operations, but NIL, like those previous like Wooden Fund, those donors who donated to the athletics for just for support. They don't need to donate anymore because we'll be set. They could more focus on putting a more competitive NIL collective, so we could get more Dante Moores, get DJ's brother, like get those kind of guys.
Yeah, dude, hell yeah. And like, you know, one thing I would say, are you in favor of maybe a stadium move from the Rose Bowl to like closer to campus? Because you were a UCLA student. Like, bro, like, was it like a kind of like a pain for you to come from Westwood to Pasadena? Because like, I know traffic out here is miserable. Would you be in favor of them potentially exploring an option to build an on, you know, campus stadium?
For on campus, yes. If they decide to move, let's say move to SoFi, no. Because the Rose Bowl holds so much history. For an on-campus stadium, yes. Make it kind of like the inside, the way I would kind of have it the inside kind of similar to the Rose Bowl. The outside kind of look like Powell and Royce, though, that kind of like style. But if not, let's keep it at the Rose Bowl. The Rose Bowl is historic. We get to claim home to that. And plus, once the move to the Big Ten comes, home games will be electrifying, because you know those Big Ten fan bases travel well. So yeah, the Rose Bowl will always be rocking every weekend.
I love it, man. We need to pack the Rose Bowl as UCLA fans. It's my one kind of issue, you know, with the past years. We had so much success going our way. I was at the Utah game. I was at the Washington game. Like, those nights, it was a little bit more packed than usual. But, man, that opening game, that opening two or three games, it was brutal to watch. So we got to get the fans out and support our UCLA Bruins. Jack, just got two quick questions for you. Favorite Bruin of all time on the football field? And favorite game you've had as a fan of UCLA?
I would have to say my favorite Bruin of all time would have to be Troy Aikman. He's one of the few guys who got drafted into the NFL really high and won multiple Super Bowls. Yeah, so the Cowboys, I'm not a fan of the Cowboys, but I'm a fan of Troy Aikman.
Agreed. Yeah, I don't like the Cowboys either, man. I don't like the Cowboys either. Favorite game? Did you have a favorite game as your time as a UCLA student, or –
Yeah, I have two. The favorite one that I attended in person was the LSU one.
Oh yeah,
dude. Oh, that one was so fun.
Sick, dude, sick.
That one was so fun. Seeing those entitled SEC LSU fans come in, think they own us, and we beat them. That was fun. But the favorite game I watched would probably have to be the Washington State comeback game.
Oh yeah,
no, oh, yeah.
That was a crazy, crazy game.
Yeah,
I was in Pullman, right.
Yeah, I was at a friend's house. We were kind of having a little watch party, and it was going horribly. We're like, "Oh, screw this! Turn this off." We didn't turn it off. I was kind of just sitting there, kind of drinking my drink, watching the game. And we made a comeback, 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 touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. That was one of the most electrifying games I saw.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah, that game was incredible. That was like kind of the start of DTR. It was kind of the spark that lit the flame with Dorian there. But, dude, I just want to thank you so much for coming on. You're the first fan we've really had on for UCLA, and it's something we want to continue. And, Jack, you're just a good dude, man. Just keep doing good things, and go Bruins as always. Any parting thoughts for us before signing off the Bruin Bible?
Yeah, thank you for kind of spreading the UCLA love. There's not many UCLA dedicated podcasts out there. You're one of my favorites. And, yeah, especially since it's football-focused, especially since – most UCLA podcasts focus on basketball. I love showing the football side some love. And yeah, go Bruins.
Go Bruins, man. Bruin Bible, we are officially out.